Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. And what we're going to be studying today is the relationship of children with their parents according to the Bible. There's a restriction, something that children are not supposed to do. And then there are things that children are supposed to do. So we want to look at it. All right? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. The Bible says, "Whoso curseth his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now, what are we talking about here? Well, we're going to view a little 2020 vision about your relationship with mom and dad. We're going to give you a little 2020 vision. You know, people say, "How's your vision? 2020 is perfect." Well, we'll get a little 2020 vision about your relationship with mom and dad. You say, "Why is it 2020 vision?" Because it's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. There you go. And also, mom and dad, it'll give you a good example of what the Lord expects from your children. All right, number one, and it's obvious, it's right in the text. Parents are not to be cursed. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. They're not to be cursed. You know, we have a saying that when a person does something really stupid or makes a terrible mistake, say, "Man, I'm telling you, it was lights out." Because it shows that he was groping around in the darkness without any direction and any certainty of where he was going or what he was doing or why he was doing what he was doing. And so, whoso curses his father or his mother, when it says his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness, he'll never be able to find his way because the source of his instruction, the source of his wisdom, is mom and dad. So it cuts off his wisdom and cuts off his light. You know, it's an amazing thing when children refuse the instruction of a mom and dad. Who on this earth is going to love those children in the ordinary sense now? I realize that we are dealing with some inordinate affection today, but as a general rule, who's going to love the children more than mom and dad? Nobody. On this earth, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about God's relationship to you, but on this earth, as humanly speaking, nobody's going to love you more than mom and dad. All right, and if mom and dad love you, then undoubtedly they have your best interest at heart. And so when they give you instruction, that instruction is not going to be just to harness you or to restrict you, but it's going to be to produce a young person with the wisdom that they have gained through their years of instruction from their parents and from their years of experience. They're much smarter than you are. Of course, children never believe that. They don't know that until mom and dad are gone. Then they think mom and dad are the wisest people that ever were. And so mom and dad are the source of wisdom and the source of light for a child all the way up being through their teenage years. I realize they start getting some good stuff from the church, but the real instruction still comes with mom and dad. And so for a child to curse his mother and curse his father, well, his lamp goes out because he loses his source of light. He loses his source of instruction. He loses his source of wisdom. It's a tragic thing, and there are a lot of children that do that. Listen, so important was it in the Old Testament that children respect their parents and not curse their parents, that God made a law in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. God made a law, Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, and the law says, "He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Can you imagine that? There would be a slew of children that are dead today after what you just heard there. The Bible says, "He that curseth his father or his mother shall be put to death." The death penalty for simply cursing mom and dad. So there's no sense. I mean, there's no wonder that the light goes out and he travels in obscure darkness. God thinks of that as a very heinous crime. He ranks that up there with other crimes like murder that get the death penalty. Now, the Pharisees made a commandment in their day that they didn't like that law. They thought it was okay for a child to curse his mother or father, but he had to pay some sort of a penalty. Just he didn't have to pay with his life. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Now Jesus is talking to him. He said, that's the law. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. "But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." It's a very dangerous thing when children are under a law as severe as "he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death," and then the Pharisees come along and say, "Nah, you can just pay that off. Just pay a little fine. You don't have to honor your father, your mother anymore, and you'll be free from the, you will have satisfied the death penalty." That's a tragic mistake. Because then what happens is that children don't respect mom and dad. They don't do the things that they're supposed to do. They're willingly curse their mother because they know they can continue to live and just pay a small fine and be free. It's not nearly as onerous, you see. And you know, the thing about it is that Jesus Christ continued to support that law. He said, "God commanded, he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say," you see the change? So Jesus upheld the commandment, but the Pharisees made the commandment of none effect. They wiped out the effectiveness of the commandment. You see, the commandment is not so that the child could be killed. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to raise the stakes high enough so the child would never curse his mother or father. Wouldn't even think about it. It was to instill in him the fear of the Lord. But when you lower it, you see, and the same thing has happened when you look at the type of disobedience that you have in school today and the lack of discipline. And people say, what's the problem? And they say, well, the problem is the family unit is broken down. I imagine that there are parents that love their children just fine, but the children are mean and so forth at school. You know what the problem is? The problem is that everybody wants to be lenient with the children. I remember when we were in school, and they won't bring this back, by the way. I'm not even suggesting that they're going to, but I remember when we were in school, the teachers had the power, they had the authority, and they had the blessings of our parents to whip us if we got out of line. Let me tell you something. There were a lot of us in school that didn't like whippings, the humiliation nor the pain. And consequently, some things that cooked up in our minds that we were born with, some foolishness that came with us, we refused to commit because we didn't want to be humiliated and we didn't want to be punished and we didn't want the pain of the whipping. Furthermore, we didn't want to get home and have our parents find out that we had gotten a whipping for doing something wrong and then have to get it again. And now that all that's been lowered and they say, oh, it's just cruel and unusual punishment, you can't do anything like that, it's even long for you to put a kid in time out, we need to change the name, that's going to be, I think they call that the thinking chair now. I heard that just the other day, and if that's true, you know what that's telling children? That if you're being told to think, now you're being punished. Because the punishment chair is the thinking chair. Well, nonetheless, what you've got is a situation where the children know they can get away with it, and they're going to. And so they mistreat the teachers, and there's school shootings and things like that, and they don't respect mom and dad, and there's cursing going on. And you know what the problem is? The problem is that God gave a law that children were not to do that, or they would suffer the death penalty. And without beating a dead horse, you got the point. They're not to be cursed. And another thing, they're not to be smitten. And in Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, a child was not to slap his mother or slap his father. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." So if a kid got angry and just, you know, threw a shoe, slapped his mother, fought his father, dead. What do you think that did in the society? You say, well, that's so cruel. No, I don't think it was cruel. I think what you did is I don't think there were many kids that did that. I don't think there were many kids that smote their mother or their father. Why? Because they knew, hey, if I take out my anger and hit them, I'm going to be killed. It's not worth it. And so they learned to discipline themselves and control their anger. parents are not to be cursed, and parents are not to be smitten. Now, if you're a child and you're listening to me and you've been mad enough where you wanted to curse your parents, or you did behind their back, or you're mad enough that you wanted to hit either one of them, forget it. God forbade it in the Bible. And if you're a mom and dad and you have children that are prone to want to curse you or smite you, then you know what you need to do? You need to gain control of that child, because God said it is not right, and both of those things were worthy of the death penalty in the Old Testament. So if God refused to allow it in the Old Testament, you cannot allow it now. All right, now the next thing, and these are the positive. I'm going to give you some positive things now. What I've given you here up to this point are some very negative and very powerful things, but they are to instill in the child these other things. Number one, the Bible commandment is to honor them. And that commandment promises long life if you do. All right, so if you're a child, you're to honor your mother and your father. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You are to honor your mother and your father. And that did not change with the New Testament. All right, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There you go. It's a commandment, and it has a promise that says if you do it, your days may be long upon the land. Now, God quoted that in the New Testament as well in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, and he continued to uphold the promise that was given in the Old Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Old Testament, New Testament, it didn't change. Parents are to be honored. And the promise is that if you do, you'll live long in the earth. I've told you before, you may not have heard about it, or you may not have heard me say it, but an old friend of mine that lived to be 92 came by to see me regularly when I used to live in Beeville, and he asked me one time, or we were talking one time, and I asked him when he was 88 years old, I said to him, how is it that you live so long? And he said, I suppose because it's always true that I've done what my mother and my father told me to do. I honored them. Well, there you go. And he lived to be 92 years old. And that was his first answer. Honor your parents. Honor your mother and your father. And that promises long life. And there are a lot of ways to honor them. Recently, we had the opportunity to celebrate with my mother for her 80th birthday. My father has passed away. He's been dead for 10 years. She wrote us thank you notes because it was a tremendous time that we got to spend together and a tremendous birthday special recognition, and it was really nice. And afterwards, she wrote thank you notes, and she said, Dad would be so proud of the way that you take care of me. Boy, that's touching, and that's so good. But you know what that is? That's honor. Honor to whom honor is due. As E.V. Hill said, she went to death door to bring us into the world. And your mother went to death's door to bring you into the world. She deserves your honor. And there are a lot of ways to do that. You can rise when she enters the room. You can still say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You can say please and thank you. You can call her from time to time, visit her from time to time, make sure that she's well. The saddest thing in the world is to go to a nursing home and see a mother that has been deposited there by uncaring children and family members, only to live out the remainder of her life in a nurse's care, never to see her family again except when it comes time to make arrangements for the funeral. I've seen that, and that's a very sad occasion. You know what that is? That's the lack of honor for a mother. And you know what? That comes back to haunt you later. Not only in your thoughts and in your recognition and when you say, man, I wish that I'd taken better care of my mother, but listen, God knows. And he gave a commandment in both testaments that if you want to live long in the earth, then you're to honor your mother and your father. The next thing is they're to be obeyed. You're in Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Speaking, by the way, of the first point about honor there, mom and dad, if you're listening and your children are not honoring you, you've got a problem, and they need to be trained to honor you. I mean, it's only for their good. It's certainly going to make your life more pleasurable, but they're going to live longer if the promise of God is right. All right, and then parents are to be obeyed. Children, the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20 says the same thing. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing. Well-pleasing unto the Lord. So in one respect, it's well-pleasing. In the other respect, it's right. It's the right thing to do, to obey your mother and your father. Now listen, I realize there are a lot of kids that don't want to obey their mother and father. But that again, is only going to come back to haunt them. It is typical of the times in which we live. And you have no business following the people of our day and age. The Bible says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Watch it. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Disobedient to parents. That's the sign of our time. So if you think it's cool to disobey mom and dad because your friends are doing that, you're wrong. You're only going along with a generation that is now in full bloom and of apostasy. You're following the desires of a generation living in perilous times. Perilous times means you sail out on that sea and you are going to be shipwrecked. You say, but I don't like what mom and dad are telling me to do. It doesn't make any difference. Mom and dad, if you give a commandment to your children, they are to keep that commandment to the T. And if they don't, they are to suffer the consequences. Whatever those consequences may be, whatever you put upon them, if it's to ground them or to increase the chores or to deny them something that they wanted to do or to make them do something they don't want to do. However you do that, if you follow the biblical principle, which is to use the rod, however that is, in order to let them know that they have disobeyed and that it is not to their best interest to disobey, you've got to enforce the rule. One fellow wrote a book and he said, listen, you give the command one time and if they don't keep it, then you go to the punishment, whatever that may be, because you've got to teach them that on the first statement, you mean for them to obey what you said, and if they don't, then they've got to be corrected so that when they're older and God gives them a command on the first command, they'll follow. So children, obey your parents. Parents, make them obey. Because it's the sign of the time in which we're living that the children do not want to obey. And there's a natural tendency to not want to obey anyway, but particularly these days, there's so much encouragement by other kids to keep them from following what they're telling you to, you know, what you're telling them to do. So the first commandment is to honor them, and the second is to obey them, and the third thing is to reverence them, to reverence them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Listen how this is worded. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? To reverence them is to put yourself in subjection to them. It's beyond obeying and honoring them. It's to a point where you recognize the superiority of their authority in all respects. You say, I don't like what they're telling me to do. Do it anyway. Because there are a lot of things in life that you're going to be told to do you don't like. And you have to reverence that above all things. That you've got a head and a covering over you as a child. And that head and covering is mom and dad. To revere them. That's something that we even do to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you're going to be in subjection to the Lord a whole lot better as an adult if you reverence your parents now. And parents, if you demand that reverence of your children lovingly, then when they get older, they'll know what it is to reverence God, to be in subjection to the Lord, to always attempt to do those things that please the Lord. Listen, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, this is remarkable. He was God manifest in the flesh. And there was a time when he was, remaining after the feast in Jerusalem. And the people came and listened. And he talked with the lawyers and with the Pharisees and communed with them. And they heard him and asked him questions. And they talked. They were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When Mary and Joseph came back looking for him, they said, you know, what's the matter here? You know, we were sorrowing after you. He said, yeah, but I had to be about my father's business. All right, listen. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He was subject unto them. He reverenced them. Now, if Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh, could, until the time of his earthly ministry, subject himself unto Mary and Joseph, then you must also do the same thing. You wear the bracelet or the necklace or the t-shirt, WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what he would do. He'd be in subjection to his mother and to Joseph, his stepfather or foster father. Got it? So you're to reverence your parents. Parents, your children to reverence you. Listen, if Jesus Christ was in subjection to his parents, your children should be in subjection to you. And I don't mean that you've got to be some kind of a strong arm, you know, beat them into the dirt until they can't wait till they're 18 so that they hightail it and never come home type parents. There are parents that are like that. Hey, I'm the boss. Hey, you listen to me. All right, well, you know, if your family can get along in that personality and still maintain the love and the respect and all that that goes along with it, fine. But if you've got, if the children really reverence you, you don't have to demand it so much as command it. I mean, it's there because of the natural order. You've got to groom them in it, and they've got a delight in reverencing you. I'd love to see families where the children reverence mom and dad, because you just know that anything mom and dad say, those children are going to do. And it's Bible. All right, and then parents are to be feared. Really? You say, really? Yeah, really. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. They're to be feared. I heard a fellow say that one time, and I was kind of shocked, you know. And then I realized, of course, that it was Bible, and I thought, you know, that's the right thing. He said, my children always do what I ask them to do. And I said, that's amazing. Why? And he said, because they fear me. They know the terrible consequences of not fearing me and not doing what I ask them to do. And listen, every one of those children has grown up absolutely to be exemplary children. They're all grown. They're all serving the Lord. And I'm telling you, they're doing a fabulous job. It's beautiful. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. Bible. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. Now, I tell you what, I had a great deal of fear around my father. And it was not properly placed. I mean, because there was a love that needed to be there that I was not, I was too scared of him. And I would say that was a lot my doing. I just, you know, I was kind of like the scarecrow in the Wizard of Oz when he finally had a chance to get up there, to see the wizard. Oh, gosh, I can't be just reliving that as a child. I had a lot of fear for him, and it went beyond respect. And really, when fear is in balance with love, in other words, you put them in a scale and they balance out perfectly so that the fear and the love are just right there together, operating together, then what you've got is you've got a very balanced life. And I'm telling you, because of that fear, it doesn't make any difference where you are in the world. You would not pull anything that would displease your father that might get back to him or dishonor him or disobey him or violate one of his commands, because you would never want that to get back to him and see him suffer as a result of your lack of fear. You know, children are always, we're always as children, we're always prone to try to do something bad when we think we're not going to get caught, and when mom and dad aren't looking. A man that fears his mother and father wouldn't pull it, whether they were in the room or not. That fear would be a controlling aspect. It's like our fear of God. The reason that certain sins that tempt me, I don't do, is because I know that I fear God, and I fear the consequences of those sins in my life. And so that's a guiding fear. It's like the guiding fear of a child. Once he's touched a hot stove, he'll never touch it again because he knows it's hot, and he knows he's not supposed to touch it, and he will not, whether mom or dad are there or not. He doesn't want to get burned. So children, you're to fear mom and dad. Mom and dad, it is appropriate for your children to have that kind of a guiding fear, a balanced fear with love that causes them always, whether you're there or not, to do the right thing. And then parents are to be requited. To requite your parents means just to repay them. They did everything they could when you were a child, sacrifice to give you, and you've heard it used before, a better living than they had. And for the most part, you probably have had it. I heard it again just today. about a fellow who gave his children a better living, a better upbringing than he was able to have, not because he had bad parents, but because he had more with wherewithal to give them, to provide for them and to give them the kind of education and so forth that they needed. And because of that, when he gets older, if he has a need, his children need to repay him. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, watch it, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Requite their parents. Now, I've watched people do that. I've seen preachers who have pastored churches for a long period of time, and then mom and dad in another state were in ill health, and they either brought mom and dad to where they're pastoring, or in some cases, they've resigned the pastorate, put it in the hands of a very capable replacement pastor, and have gone to where mom and dad are and serve them. I've seen people in business relocate just to take care of mom and dad. I've got a real good friend of mine who is very successful in business. He moved his wife up to his father-in-law's farm to take care of him, and then this fellow travels out of there. It's an inconvenience to him, but he travels out of there every week to go do his job and then returns on the weekends to take care of things around the family farm so that her father, who is now in poor health and not in mental strength that he used to have, can be taken care of. Why? She wants to requite her father. And it's the right thing to do. Parents are to be requited. So, parent, if you've got children, it's all right for them. Parents lay up for the children. But when you get older and you're feeble and you cannot be taken care of, it's right for the children to look after you. Don't be ashamed about that. It's not an inconvenience. It's the proper thing. So that's the 2020 vision about relationships between children and their parents. Children, if you're listening, you need to employ these things with mom and dad. Mom and dad, it's okay. It's right for you to expect these things of your children and to nurture them in these things. That is, first of all, parents are not to be cursed. Secondly, they're not to be hit. The Bible commandment is to honor parents. Parents are to be obeyed. Parents are to be reverenced. Parents are to be feared. And parents are to be requited. And those are all biblical, and they're all appropriate for Christian moms and dads and Christian children. And we pray that what you've heard today be a help to you and help to your kids.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. Amen.